Well, I'm actually a courier for LabCorp right now, but I'm also one of the elected supervisors for New Hanover County Soil and Water Conservation District. So, and that was within the past couple of years. So that's kind of my two things I do, really.
And how long is your term on the Soil and Water Conservation?
The term is it's 4 years. So I would be giving up that position, but as I've already spoken with some that are on there, and hopefully I'll be able to retain a non-voting position on the board, which we already have two members that are like that right now, that are truly amazing members, but they give input in a way that they can't necessarily vote. So that's the one sad part about it, is you wouldn't be able to make those votes anymore. But there are changes that I would prefer to enact and work towards on the school board that would also help with soil and water. And there's a lot of things that soil and water can actually do for the school board here locally that not many people know. One of the key pieces is low impact development and doing some different installations of BMPs and work that's going to be coming up, especially.
What are BMPs?
Best management practices. And it's basically what we install for an area, but it's centrally to soil and water conservation. So that's basically what that BMP worked towards. So.
Okay.
But what they would do is they would work with schools and help so that not all the money is having to come out of necessarily taxpayers, but it will come out of the different grants and different areas that the state already has, which still is taxpayer dollars, but it's more spread out, I guess is the best way to say it.
So how would soil and water conservation help the schools directly?
Well, what they do right now, and this is a key part that I've had a hand in just within the past month, working with the educational programs that we have. We do a poster contest, which at first doesn't sound too much, but it's actually something that really gets kids energized because it gets them to be creative and come up with ways to kind of show how they're going to interact with the area around them. And so that's what's really great with what we do, and it helps kids to understand the environment in a different way, and it's understanding the water cycle. So that's what soil and water does on a very small focused level. It goes a bit broader with helping out, getting educational information. You have different pamphlets and booklets. You have one of our ladies who does an excellent job with school, with the schools and with kids. Alyssa, she goes out and she actually works with them. I've actually been out to the schools with her as well to see how those programs are implemented. It's a fantastic setup, but we definitely, I would like to see that more kind of go hand in hand, because there are a lot of things that we can do that would help take some of the stress off teachers and would be more interactive in a way. And I think that's really, what I'm looking at while I'm running for school board is I want to bring more interactiveness into the classroom. I want to be able to see kids that they don't necessarily learn when you throw a worksheet in front of them, or when a teacher is having to be stressed out to the point where they don't feel they're really being heard.
And what do you think makes the teacher stressed out? What contributes to that right
well,
now?
Well, a lot of that right now, and you come up, is you have issues with curriculum. A lot of them don't feel the curriculum either works. A lot of them don't feel that whenever they're teaching a student, it's not really, they can't break those barriers for some students. And a lot of it is not, there's not a one-size-fits-all education. That's the end-all be-all. You have classroom sizes that are becoming larger, and a lot of teachers just need, we have to start bringing it back to the smaller classrooms, especially right now with the bond and everything that has gone through, and with some new, all these new housing developments, you're going to need more high schools. You're going to need more schools that are going to have to be built because you have an influx of people that are going to come in. I was in school back before Ashley was built, and I went to Hoggart, and now Hoggart was busting at the seams. You had basically a trailer park behind it of classrooms, and a lot of those are still there, but the main thing is you're going to have an influx of students, and those teachers are going to be hit with even more bad curriculum and an influx of students that they can't really keep control of. So for me, I really want us to kind of move back down to cutting down those classroom sizes, getting more teachers in, making sure the schools are built to last and that they actually have room to grow.
So would you call that, what would you actually identify as your top priority if you were elected to the board?
Well, I actually have three top priorities. When it comes down to right now within New Hanover County, we're having a major issue with safety and security. That's something that has just come up within the past 6 months.
And in what form?
Well, you have right now, you have Laney. Take, for instance, a student comes there, they find out that they have weapons and drugs on campus. That is just within the past few months after gang violence has started to increase, and you have a city here in Wilmington that it just keeps on getting worse at the moment. And it is something that the police are having to deal with, and it's something that on the county level that you're having to deal with. It's a major issue that if we don't focus in on it, and especially at the school levels, don't start working with our kids and finding unique ways to reach them to make sure they don't go into gangs, that they don't turn around and turn to violent activities just because they don't feel like they're being really reached out to.
So you're talking about preventive initiatives.
Yes. So that's what we're going to have to work towards. You can't know necessarily when a kid is either going to go into these types of issues. You just don't. So we got to make sure that, again, when I was talking about smaller classroom sizes, teachers can be more hands-on with students. They can be more connected to them. When you have the police presence at a school, if you turn it from where it's just having that hired officer that's having to be in there, and my thing would be to look towards perhaps looking at those retired officers that are still able to do the job and still want to do it and say, hey, look, would you come and be at one of our schools? Be one of those older people that has helped to mentor these children to understand what's right and what's wrong. Those that don't really get the same type of at-home activities that kind of would lead them down the right paths, because a lot of times parents are stressed out, especially here and with an economy that's constantly hurting them by either raising taxes or at the, you know, higher up levels, you have other issues that are coming down with jobs.
So you're talking about increasing the number of teachers, actually increasing the number of classrooms, building more schools, and you're talking about putting retired law enforcement, more people, more law enforcement officers in the schools.
And we can do these things. And we're actually already doing them. And it's not necessarily increasing classrooms, but we are building, we're having to build a whole new school. We're having to take on either getting rid of old schools and completely reconstructing them, which again, when I was talking about with Soil and Water, that low impact development and BMP installations and different items that we can help out there will kind of reduce those costs. So a lot of these items we're already going to have to tackle. We're going to have the money for it. We don't have to look towards raising taxes to do it.
You're going to have the money because of the recent school bond that just...
Well, yes, because of the school bond that passed, because that money is there. And we need to make sure that we can keep that money there by preventing other issues from taking place, like what has just recently passed with the $20,000 that was having to be paid. So, and that's a whole nother issue, but we have to be a hawk on financial issues. We have to be fiscally responsible in order to have that money to hire the more teachers, to create more classrooms, because we're going to need them, to be able to look towards law enforcement that hopefully wouldn't cost that much, which is, from my understanding, wouldn't. But I don't have a crystal ball, so I can't say it would or wouldn't. It's just things that I would be bringing to the board and we would be looking at to try and solve the issue.
What is your stance on charter schools? What do you think their role is in the community?
Charter schools, to me, are a very unique situation. A charter school, for many people, is what they feel their only chance to get a leg up. You can't put your child in a private school. Charter schools work completely different than regular schools, and I don't want to go into all the mechanics of it, but the general thing is they work on a whole different level, and I like charter schools. I think they need to work in conjunction with other schools that we already have. More charter schools, the better, in my opinion, because the more competition there is, the better. I want our teachers to know that they are working for an excellent school system that has a fantastic graduation rate right now.
So let's, according to a study by UNC, and this was several years ago, 91% of minority communities in New Hanover County were shown to have a high poverty elementary school as their closest school. Do neighborhood schools contribute to that? And what do you think about neighborhood schools?
When it comes down to that issue, it literally comes down to the most important element for any child is the parent. And it's going to come down to our schools working with parents. The schools that are considered to be in poverty, those that are not able to kind of get that leg up that they need, we have to work with on a certain level as well as the parents. So when it comes down to school board,
what are we going to do? In a lot of these high poverty communities, there aren't the traditional family structures. There aren't necessarily two parents. Mom may be on her own with three kids, working three or four other jobs, just trying to put food on the table. So there aren't parents around. So what do you do in that case?
And that's where the school board has to come in and make sure that that parent knows that we're not leaving them out in the cold. We need to make sure that there are open forms so that they can get to them. I don't care if the form has to be held at 9 o'clock at night when she gets off from whatever shift she's having to work, or he's having to work. Because we need to be able to reach them and say, what can we do to help you to make sure your child is successful? Because this isn't just, see, my son, he's 3 years old. He's about to start into the pre-K area.
You have one child?
Yes, right now we have one child. So, and he's a handful. But we need to get to the parents. And that has been one thing I have heard more times than not. Parents do not feel like they're being connected with. And I don't care what time I have to meet with a parent, I'll meet with them. I just had someone I was speaking with the other day. I told him, I don't care if it's 6 o'clock in the morning or 11 o'clock at night. You give me a call, you let me know. I want to go over the issues with you so I know exactly what's going on, because I want to be that voice for you.
So your position is neighborhood schools, the way they're structured, are fine. You just think there needs to be more interaction. Instead of changing the neighborhood school structure, there needs to be more interaction with the parents.
I mean, structure still has to change, because that still comes down to teachers and how much they're having to deal with. Structure has to be addressed at some point. You have, let's take elementary schools. You have one teacher for every 20 students, supposedly. But then there's a little caveat that goes down to, well, it can be up to a classroom of 24. And it's like, that one teacher, I know I'm dealing with one child, and we have two parents, and he's a handful. And to be in that type of situation, it takes a special person to be a teacher, period. So the fact that you're putting one person in a room with 20 children and you're expecting them to be able to learn and be on task, that teacher, God help them. Because and Lord of mercy, I know I love my teacher I had. She was fantastic. But I really want us to move down to a smaller class size. About 15 kids would be fantastic now, but that's what I'm looking at.
Okay. And we have just about a minute left. So last question. You are elected. You don't have to convince the other board members of anything. You get a free pass to do one big thing. What is that one thing that you would do if you could wave a magic wand?
Well, other than having a perfect budget. But I think the classroom sizes. I really want teachers to know that I'm there for them and I want to help them. And if I can wave a magic wand and everything connected to it would happen, it would really be working on the classroom sizes, because there are items that I can't have any control of, which is curriculum, other than at the local level that they allow us to have control over, and what I'm going to fight at the higher level to try and prevent. But if I actually could directly affect it immediately, it would be classroom sizes, and that would really lead into other things.
Frank Christopher Mears, thank you so much for joining us
today. Thank you.